This programme was previously broadcast live on Love Sport Radio, so some items may be out of date. Phone-in elements of these shows are not available, but if you'd like to comment or give us feedback on our shows, you can tweet us at Love Sport Radio. For more podcasts or to listen live, visit lovesportradio.com. Alternatively, you can find this and other podcasts on iTunes or Spotify using the keyword Love Sport.
On the southern coast of England, there are seagulls flying higher, still higher than before. It's as though they've been hoisted like a flag. When the battle has been won, you can hear the ocean roar. On Marina Harbor, there's a good wind for sailing, and they leave me standing on the shore.
There it is. This is Love Sport Radio and the Brighton Fan Show, no less. I'm Matt Beadle with you through until 11 p.m. this evening. We've had plenty in a jam-packed show this evening, and now I'm delighted to be joined by Joshua Goldsmith from the Together podcast. Joshua, I'm going to guess that you are in pretty chirpy mood after last weekend.
Yes, I am. It was some performance, so I'm very happy indeed.
I mean, I was away last weekend. I was in Barcelona with some friends on an enjoyable weekend, shall we say. And two of those friends were Tottenham Hotspur fans. And it was both enjoyable and stressful watching it with them. One, enjoyable because it was the Brighton Fan Show. Well, it was Brighton, of course, and I knew I was going to be doing this show this week, so I couldn't wait to get your reaction. But two, they were absolutely beside themselves. Of course, they'd lost 7-2 in midweek to Bayern Munich. That was a drubbing. But this one was even more of a drubbing, in my opinion, because to go to the Emirates and get soundly beaten by Brighton, I think it's fair to say, without trying to offend you, no one expected.
No, I don't think they did either. Everybody talked all week, as soon as that Bayern hammering happened, that the backlash was coming at the weekend. And I think everybody that was a Brighton fan was worried that it would be, especially with our form at home too. Over the last, like, pretty much the entire calendar year of 2019, at home we've been really poor. So for us to bring up that performance at the same time as Spurs supposedly bringing the backlash was, you're right. Like, I don't think anybody saw it coming, but it was a pleasant surprise for me.
I bet it was. And in terms of star performers, I think there's only one certain Irish striker, Aaron Connolly, that we have to pay homage to, because, again, I was watching it and a few of the lads in the pub were like, who is that guy? We have never heard of him before. And it's fair to say, you know, when you work in the media and you're a Brighton fan, of course, you're aware of who he is, but he's not yet thrust himself in to the football world yet. And he announced himself in no uncertain terms with his first Premier League start, because we're looking at the Tottenham defence there. You know, you've got Jan Vertonghen, you've got Toby Alderweireld, you've got good, good, solid players, and he made them look a bit foolish.
Yeah, he did. I really thought his coming out party was going to be him going to Luton on loan at the beginning of the year. And then he got hurt and it never really did anything. Potter came in, decided he liked what he saw. He got a couple of subs on, but this start, he just took it and ran with it. Like, I don't know who could possibly replace him in the lineup now, because after that, you know, you can't drop that kind of performance. And like you said, like, it wasn't like he was playing against like Sheffield United defenders or teams that have had a lot of championship experience. These are Champions League finalist defenders. So it was a hell of a debut, that's for sure.
Well, do you know what? That's a really interesting point you've made there, or at least something that you've just said there in terms of a statement saying that you don't know who can replace him. I mean, on one hand, yes, I think we have to keep our feet firmly on the ground. But Neil Maupay, after the game, you know, he said in an interview that was with The Independent, that he felt a connection with Connolly, you know. And what does this mean now for the likes of Glenn Murray, for example? This is a stalwart of Brighton who's been excellent for them in the Premier League. He's continued to go. He's now 36, 37 years old. But are we now looking at the slight change of the guard with Connolly coming in?
I think we definitely are, yeah. I think we've had a couple of opportunities to start Glenn in recent weeks, and we've chosen not to. We chose to try and operate Aramoy a little bit further forward, didn't we? And then we've started Colony this this time. I think that the change in the guard has definitely happened. I think the big money signing of Mopai also helped push it. But Glenn, you know, like, he's been a consummate professional since you've ever seen him play. And I'm sure he's well aware of what he can and can't do these days. And, you know, if Potter wants to play this fast build-up as well as the ability to counter-attack, he's only really got one option, and that's Glenn can hold the ball up and score the fox-in-the-box type of goals. And both Mopai and Connolly can do everything. They're fast and they can hold the ball, and Murray hasn't got that. I mean, Murray never really had a great amount of pace, but I think it's fair to say that the change of the guard has definitely took place.
It's actually the first teenager ever to start a Premier League game for Brighton. I'm sure you're aware of that, Josh. However, can you name me the first... He's the first teenager to score for Brighton in the league since who? Do you know who that man is?
Since in the Premier League?
No, just in league football for Brighton.
Solly March?
Close. Jake Forster-Caskey against Charlton.
Oh my goodness.
In April. Yeah, 5 years ago. Staggering, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm not sure where he is these days.
No, me neither. I'm going to get our producer, I think potentially Charlton, according to Paddy. But just to stick on Connolly himself, I mean, have you seen, again, I don't want to get too carried away, because I think sometimes when we see a young player, especially a teenager coming through, one that is from, you know, Great Britain or Ireland, comes through and we get a bit excited about the next X, Y and Z. Is there anyone that you can think of that's been at Brighton in recent years that you could perhaps compare him to?
Oh, that's a good question. No, I don't think I can. Mostly because most of our strikers that have come through, they haven't really came through with Findham. And all of them have been bigger lads. You know, we had Glenn Murray, Bobby Zamora, Leo Ujoa. They're all that bigger style striker that likes to hold the ball up. Tom Ahmed was the same. So I don't really think we've had the type of striker that he is come through. I mean, Sam Baldock maybe, but I don't think Baldock can hold the ball up anywhere near as well as Connolly can, even now. So I think he's kind of an enigma in terms of what Brighton have been able to develop, and I think that people are getting a bit excited. I've seen a lot of talk this week about comparing him to Robbie Keane over and over again, because he's the first Irish lad to score two goals on his debut, I think it was. So I'm a bit like, hold off. Because if we have the next Robbie Keane, you know, we're in for a good 10 years of him. But I think it's a little bit quick to jump to the excitement there.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I think Connolly will probably be the first person to say that. As with Graham Potter as well, of course. First win since that emphatic 3-0 victory at Watford on the opening day. And more importantly, Graham Potter's first win at the Amex. I guess we can look at this in a whole bunch of ways. Firstly, the fact that he is bringing Connolly in and he has that confidence to bring Connolly in. But this is a first win for Graham Potter at the Amex. That's massive, isn't it, to get that landmark out of the way?
Yeah, it's huge. We've been so close a couple of times with just a little bit of unluckiness to stop us. You know, the wonder strike with Burnley when they equalised right near the end, and then Andone getting himself sent off at Southampton, both hampered those kind of games. But Even though we were playing that kind of the lineup as soon as we saw it come out with Connolly, Mopai, Gross up front, it was like, cool, right, we've got two people who can attack with pace. That's adventurous, that's confident from Potter, but I don't think anybody saw that result coming. So not only is it great to get a win on the board, but to do it in such style against Tottenham, I think it's the best possible win you could have got to break that Amex duck.
The beauty of it as well, Josh, for me, is the sense that Graham Potter is really sticking to his guns here. We're in a Premier League, which is brutal. No bones about it. It is a brutal league and you get very, very little time. And I think the fact that you hadn't won since the opening day, I'm not saying that, you know, his ability was being questioned or he was under any particular pressure, but I think there was maybe some suggestions that he should adopt a more, I don't know, pragmatic approach without wanting to quote Jose Mourinho in pretty much every post-match press conference that he ever did. But it was suggested that maybe he should be more cautious purely to keep Brighton in the Premier League. But he stuck to his guns, hasn't he? He's gone, no, this is the type of manager I am. This is my approach to football. I'm going to stick with it. And, you know, if we can go on last weekend, that's paid off.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, we had a manager for the last few years that did exactly that. And towards the last 6 months of his tenure, we got absolutely lambasted across the media for playing negative football. So it's kind of you're damned if you do and you're damned if you don't with the Premier League these days, because like you said, it's such a brutal league. But Potter was asked, I think, in the pre-match conference this week, like, you know, are you going to go slightly change it up? Are you going to go more conservative? And he said no. And then he stuck three past Spurs. So it was as good of a message to show that he, you know, is sticking to his guns and it's going to pay off eventually. So good for him. It's exactly why Bloom brought him in, to develop the youth and to play more expansive and attacking football. And the fact that, you know, we had Aaron Connolly, who is exactly what we mean in the youth, scoring two goals and playing great attacking football. Pretty much, I'm sure that the board, Tony Bloom, and everybody else up there is delighted with the appointment even now.
Stephen Arzate as well, we have to mention as well, another excellent performer. I know you've mentioned him on previous shows. It does appear that he might have actually sustained a bit of an injury whilst on international duty with Colombia. There will obviously be more reports on that as and when we get them, but he looked excellent, didn't he? You know, both him and Connolly, Johan Bakker was obviously kept out, Murray was kept out. Those two players now, if Arzate can stay fit, they look to be pretty solid.
Yeah, 100%. Arzate came in, you know, at left wing back against Newcastle a couple of weeks ago, and he'd never played that position up there in his life, and he ended up winning the performance of the month, I think, for Brighton. He has had a hell of a month. He's came in, he's had his debut away at Newcastle, and then he moved into the central midfield against Spurs and played incredibly well there as part of a three. He looks great. I think he's obviously not going to get the same kind of plaudits as Connolly will, because he's not scoring the goals, and you know, goals get you headlines, but he has been a real nice addition too, and Leyton Orient fans are all sitting there very smug saying we told you so, because they were a real big fan of him when they had him on loan a couple of years back.
And in terms of those roles being tweaked as well, I suppose Pascal Gross is another player that you could say has, I don't know, his role has somewhat changed since Chris Hughton's reign. He's now also, because I know he's a crucial player for you, and you've mentioned this in previous shows as well, but these tactical shifts by Potter have really seemed to be quite influential, haven't they? And Gross in particular is benefiting from that.
Yeah, and honestly, I would honestly go out there and boldly say that Gross has been our player of the season so far. He has just got better under Potter. He is better than he was at his best with Hughton. You know, that first year under Hughton, Gross was an incredible revelation for a couple of million quid, but he has just found his niche in this formation for Potter. He pretty much is anywhere on the pitch, because as long as he can put a ball in the box, he's an absolute danger to anyone. It's outrageous how many times people fall for his cross turn, because he's so slow, and yet he does them every single time. He gets into space. The key passes that he plays is just outrageous. He is incredible, and I'm surprised that a lot of the bigger clubs haven't took a look at him yet. I can only assume it's the fact that he is a slower player and they like to have the quick guys up there, but he might well get a bit more, you know, attention in January, unfortunately, if he keeps doing what he's doing.
Indeed. Well, we hope not, of course. That is Joshua Goldsmith of the Together podcast. This is the Brighton Fan Show on Love Sport. Plenty more coming up.
Love Sport Radio, the station giving fans a voice.
This is the Brighton Fan Show on Love Sport. I'm Matt Beadle, joined as ever by Joshua Goldsmith of the Together podcast. Josh, we're going to quickly touch on the international scene right now, because England have lost this evening to Czech Republic 2-1. It is an international break, and sometimes it's not that you're ever stuck for things to talk about, but you want to preview the next week's game. But obviously we've got you on next Friday, so we are going to discuss ongoing fixtures at that point. But I just quickly want to take a Brighton angle from this England defeat, in the sense that, you know, Lewis Dunk was a player that had managed to get an England call-up prior to this season. He wasn't in the squad for these particular qualifiers, these particular games coming up for England, and today it seemed like there was a bit of a void in the centre of that defence, or perhaps through the entire back line for England. Harry Maguire and Michael Keane, you'd suggest, maybe aren't the ideal pairing in the middle. Are you surprised that Dunk hasn't maintained his space in the England setup?
Yes and no. I'm surprised because he started this season so well. He's already got two assists to his name as a centre-half, one of them being that Connolly pass this weekend and the first one to Mopai all the way back against Watford that was just beautiful. I don't really understand why Michael Keane keeps getting the call-up. I think Maguire and Dunk sound like a really good duo. Honestly, I think Tomori and a couple of the others out there have a right to feel really hard done by. I'm not sure how Michael Keane keeps getting in the squad. He was at fault again today when we conceded the first one. It just kind of blows my mind a little bit. And I would like to know what goes through their minds, or Southgate's mind, I suppose, when he doesn't make the call to Lewis Dunk. Because when he was asked today as to why Mason Mount was getting the start, he effectively said, you know, we're starting Mason Mount on form. He's playing well in the league, so he gets the start. That doesn't seem to, you know, go along with the lines of Lewis Dunk being called up at all. So it's really confusing, I think, as a Brighton fan to not understand why that's happening.
Yeah, especially so after that second goal as well today. It was quite difficult to watch that England attempting to play out of the back and not doing so successfully or whatsoever. Of course, not so much playing out from the back at Brighton. Perhaps that's the influence you need in the centre of that defence, just to tell a goalkeeper sometimes just to get rid. I'm not laying the blame on Jordan Pickford here. I'm laying the blame on the system of football that we seem to be obsessed with in this country now. Moving on to Ireland, and we've talked about Aaron Connolly already. He could well be making his senior international debut, Ireland playing against Georgia in Tbilisi, of course, and then Switzerland in Geneva over the coming days. He may get his international bow, but it's that connection, isn't it, that Brighton seems to have with Ireland at the moment, especially with young talent. We have the Millwall fan show on before yourselves, and they are raving about Jason Malumbi. He's from Waterford. He's a young footballer who is on loan from Brighton, of course, doing very well for Millwall at the moment in the Championship. There is Warren O'Hara, of course, as well. He's doing well in Brighton's under-21s at the moment, and James Folong as well. He's a younger player, but he came over from Shamrock Rovers. So that link between Brighton and Ireland seems to be really, really strong at the moment, doesn't it?
Yeah, and we've been cultivating that for about 8 or 9 years now. We also had another lad, I think it was something Kerr, and then Richie Towell as well came over. He didn't quite make it. I think he's at Rotherham now. But we've definitely been working on that connection for a while, and now, even though it's a couple of years down the line, like you said, we're definitely starting to see the benefits from it, because Malumbi was a player that had really started growing in the under-23s for a while, and everybody was like, well, is he going to make the step up? And I think he made the bench a couple of times, even under Hughton. So for him to go out and get Championship football is perfect, and I'm really glad to hear that they're as happy with him as they are. I didn't know how he was playing down there, honestly, so I'm really happy to hear he's killing it. And then O'Hara, of course, as well, is, I think he actually played against Villa. I think, maybe not, but yeah, we've developed a really good connection with them over there. I'm not really sure how or why, but it's working out great now.
Yeah, indeed it is. And just to quickly, I guess, touch base or fill you in on Malumbi, he's a player that what I've seen in terms of how he's played for Millwall so far, I've been to a few of their games this season, and what I like about Malumbi is the fact that he chose to go to Millwall. It was almost his choice. There were a few clubs that were in for him, but he wanted to play for Millwall because he knew that by going there, he was almost guaranteed first team football. And, you know, we've seen him in the Ireland youth setup, very, very impressive. And there was a particular game against Luton last week. They did draw, but he really does get stuck in. He wants the ball. And I think that's a great sign of a young footballer who wants the ball. He wants the ball at his feet. He wants to be involved. He is slightly naive. He's got a lot to learn, but he's a young lad and that will come. He picks up the odd booking as well. And personally, I don't think there's anything wrong with that. That doesn't show a lack of temperament. That just shows a will to get involved in what is a very, very difficult Championship division with teams that come thick and fast, games that come thick and fast, but a very, very good player. But it's just crucial this relationship with Ireland does continue. Evan Ferguson as well is another one, 14-year-old. I mean, he made headlines back in Ireland when he played for Bohemians, I think, in the senior team. So, you know, that connection that the club have, if they can hold on to that, you could see a really good new wave of players coming in. And like you say, the new Robbie Keane, perhaps, is not far off.
Yeah, and, you know, these young Irish players that are being picked up and scouted by teams all over the Premier League, if they see players like Malumbi and see players like Connolly going out and playing their trade and working their way up and showing that there is a pathway into the first team of a Premier League squad, and then, you know, taking your chances and scoring twice against Tottenham, it can only help them feel more confident coming over. You know what I mean? They'll speak to Connolly, they'll speak to Mullumby, and they'll be like, yeah, come on over, and we'll have that little edge over everybody else. So if Connolly isn't the next Robbie Keane, there's a good chance that the next one might pop up at the Albion, that's for sure.
Indeed. Josh, it's been great talking to you. Just to finish, I'm going to finish on a stat, possession stats, because last season the average possession was 41.39% for Brighton. This season, up to 55.1%. That is the seventh highest in the Premier League. I know that some people go, oh, you can't read much into that, but it just goes to show that Graham Potter's getting this team to play more with the ball at their feet, doesn't it?
Yeah, and you know the old phrase is like possession is 9/10 of the law or whatever it is, and we are really working the ball incredibly well. It's not the kind of negative possession either. We are always looking to go forward. We're always looking to score goals. It definitely weren't working out for a couple of games in the middle there. You know, against Newcastle was particularly frustrating because I think we walked away with almost 70-odd% possession and no goals, but. Like you said, Potter isn't giving up on what he said and what he wants to do. He has a game plan. He knows how he wants his team to operate. And one of those is keeping the ball. And we do a really good job at it, which is crazy because last year under Houghton, the amount of times I must have texted my friends or them text me frustrated, thinking like, you know, we can barely string three passes together. And now we must have strung about 40 together at one point against Spurs when we were 2 or 3 nil up. And they were really frustrated, and it's nice to see it on the other foot.
Lovely stuff. Josh, it has been nothing but a pleasure. As always, we'll have you on next week, looking ahead to that visit to Aston Villa.
Thanks.
This has been the Brighton Fan Show on Love Sport. Plenty more coming up. It's El Clasico.
Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.